Yes, good morning, Russell Street. Yes, this is the first Sunday of the year, and so Happy New Year. It's a pleasure to be here, so I want to thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, Pastor Dan, for this opportunity. By the way, I'm Pastor Fabio. I'm here as part of the Russell Street staff. I've been the Brazilian pastor for over almost 15 years. Yes. When I came here, I had, you know, more things going up here. I had hair. And for some reason today, I feel really, you know, uncomfortable right here. I don't know. Maybe it's the cold weather. Anyways, so I just want to present a little bit my family here. I have my wife and my daughter. They're here. And also, there's a picture there. I have a very beautiful family, right? Amen. Yeah, so just a few pictures of what's going on the third floor here at Russell Street. We do a little bit of a mess there. It's a good mess. So this past year, we had 11 people getting baptized. So yeah. So you're celebrating every Sunday. In fact, in about 4 minutes, it's going to start a Portuguese-speaking service on the third floor. And you usually have around, 70 to 80 people every Sunday worshiping God. And so thank you so much for your heart. This is part of Russell Street missions and love for all the nations. So we're part of that, and we are celebrating with you what God has been doing in our midst. We have a lot of young families. We have a youth group, and it's growing, and we've seen God's grace on us. And so you're a part of this. So I'm here just to express my gratitude, because this was born in Russell Street's heart and vision. So I just want to celebrate with you guys about this. And so today I'm going to continue to be walking with you guys in this journey on the book of Colossians, the letter that Apostle Paul wrote, the Colossians. And so in this journey, I understand that we're going to talk about doctrines, dangers, and duty. And I believe the Apostle Paul is just trying to make the church to understand God's passion, purpose, and provision for the church and beyond. And there's the main theme of this book. I just want to remind you of that Jesus Christ is preeminent over all. And the Apostle Paul talks about the superiority of Christ above everything. And it's really interesting because he's writing about this in the condition where he's in prison. You know, can you imagine this? He's celebrating about Jesus' power above everything while he's in prison. He's, you know, in chains. But he understands that every opportunity that God has placed him is a chance to express the heaven's miracle to the people around him. So he understands this is just a condition that God wanted him to be at that moment, and he's fine with it. You know, we need to grow so much in that faith that the Apostle Paul is teaching us. So the main passage of this whole letter is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "He," meaning Christ, "is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." So what I'm understanding here is that God wants to reveal the superiority of his Son above all power in this world through the church, through us, me and you. So God has a power. The heaven has this expectation to reveal God's power in the world through me and you. And Jesus Christ has provided us the way for that to happen. So I come here with a few questions to begin with. Do you believe in the power of the kingdom of heaven? You know, We sing about it, we read about it, but you actually believe it? This is something that, you know, you got to think about it. Do I really believe the power of God present in my life this year of 2025? Another question, do you want to be a revelation of God's power in this world? So do you believe it? If you do you want it to be an expression? So this is the kind of invitation the Apostle Paul is making for the church. You know, it's not a matter of understanding and accepting. It's a matter of choosing to lead, to stand up and embrace it, and be willing to be part of this revelation, this power that it's ready to be unleashed from heaven through the church. This is amazing. So God has chosen the church to be a channel of his power. And as we enter in the new year, right, I know we do a lot of resolutions. We have a lot of, you know, dreams about each year. But I believe this year of 2025 could be the best year of your life. I really believe that. It could be an amazing year. Why? Because the heaven is open right before us. The heaven is open. Do you believe that? That the heaven is open for you? There's nothing holding it back from us because Christ has provided everything for us through his death and resurrection. So I really believe that. But however, the new year itself will not change us, right? If we don't intentionally decide to be proactive, nothing we will build, right? So we are the ones to build in the year of 2025. The year itself does not improve us. It is up to us to decide to use the year to improve ourselves. And that's actually making a stand of faith. God, I want to use this opportunity because a new year is the grace of God giving us another opportunity to live his glory. So we need actually take a stand and live it by faith, making the choices that God is allowing us to make. So we believe that the heavens are open right now before us, right? Amen? Yeah, we do believe that. So a prayer would be, God, I accept the changes you want to bring in my life this year. Because that's what's going to make it amazing. It's when I actually respond to the provision that the heavens already gave to me by faith. So I believe that the heaven is open to me. This is the stand that we do. I believe that this could be the best year of my life if I decide to embrace you fully. And I think the Apostle Paul is making that invitation to the church of Colossae to respond in faith by prayer. I want to read to you now chapter 4. That's where Pastor Dan left us last Sunday. Chapter 4, verse 2. And the scripture says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsides. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all of the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage you, your hearts. He's coming with one Zimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. This is the first impression that I get from this passage that I believe that is the heart of the Apostle Paul is communicating here, that our prayer must be aligned with the heaven's purpose, right? We have this amazing opportunity to get connected with the Creator, but the heavens is already in movement since forever. And we're the ones that actually need to step in and understand this movement. So prayer, it's a lot more than us telling thanks to God. It's actually, as we do it, we try to listen Him speaking back to us. And God has a lot to tell us. The heaven expects us to place ourselves in a condition where we are sensible to understand what He's trying to tell us every day. Think of heaven as if all the provision, it's already in place. The heaven's not lacking anything. No resources, nothing. And the heaven is open before you and is ready to pour out in your life all the provision through Jesus Christ, right? The only thing that is holding back heaven to be expressed through us is our lack of faith. That's the only thing that could hold us back, our lack of faith. So the Apostle Paul knows that God is in constantly move, and the kingdom of God desires to cause a revolution in the heart of every people through the power of the gospel. He calls this the mystery that was revealed through Jesus Christ, right? So how can we be part of heaven's movement on earth? This is what Paul is inviting the church to do. As he's in prison, he's asking the church to be part of this movement from heaven and to be expression of his miracle. Through what? Through prayer. This is amazing. Prayer starts this ignition from heaven, this movement that needs to be expressed through us. We start this movement in us by prayer. So God wanted to use the church of Colossae as a revelation of heaven's reality into the darkness that the Apostle Paul and the church was facing at that moment. So the church should be vigilant in prayer and with thanksgiving. That's what Paul is teaching the church to do. We have a great opportunity, Paul is saying, to, in the midst of this persecution, to be a revelation of God's miracle. So this is incredible because Paul is not asking the church to pray for him to be released from prison. He's actually more concerned that the people would be set free from the chains spiritually. So he asked for that. So he's praying according to heaven's purpose, not according to human desire. He is not looking to his comfort. And he's understanding that actually this situation that he is in, it's a good opportunity for God to reveal his miracle. So he's actually challenging the church to live by faith, to understand things beyond what it seems like, what it looks like. And I believe this is the same invitation God is making for us in 2025. He wants us to see things beyond what it looks like and to move by faith. You know, you might think there's a lot of things lacking maybe in your life, in your home, in this church, in this nation. I don't know. And it might be true in a human perspective. But we are called to be sons and daughters of Christ, of God. And God has a table of abundance, right? Do you believe that? In this table, we have everything as we need as His child. And we have a place set for us and has our name on it. And our perspective as we approach our Father is that He provided everything we need in the table. So as we come before Him in our prayer, we come in faith. We don't come asking for scrums, like, you know, the little food that is falls on the ground. We come embracing the full meal that he's giving it to us. So this is how you approach the throne of God, believing that he's giving us everything we need. So we should expect miracles in our life, right? We should expect nothing less than what the heavens already provided in our reality in heaven. So how can we be part of God's miracle in people's heart? Well, the Apostle Paul is actually answering this here through prayer. When you pray in faith, you're already part of God's miracle, God's provision in our society. That's where it starts. Charles Spurgeon says, whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to pray. Right? So when we pray in faith, we become a channel of God's supernatural power in this world. Faith-filled prayers activates God's supernatural power within us. So what if the only thing holding back heavens from revealing his power through us is our lack of faith, right? In 2025. So we're the ones that need to step in and declare the power of heaven over everything else. The power of the gospel that transforms all reality and causes revolution in people's heart. We're the ones that need to step up. So instead of asking God to change the circumstances, I need to ask him to change my heart to believe in this. Instead of asking God to make a revival there, I should be the one seeking revival inside of me. This is how we be part of God's plan. This is how we need to respond in faith. So look at this. Mike Wells says, to pray is the art of entering into the secret place and listening in silence to what the Trinity has been talking since eternity. That's amazing, right? So they're not lacking anything. They're not lacking wisdom, resources, glory. They have everything. So when we pray, we're coming into that sacred room with the Trinity, and we are engaging, we're being part of that which is a flow of movement. And we become that flow in the earth. That's the expectation of God to us. I want you to become a flow of heaven on earth. This is amazing. I believe that's what Paul is asking the church to understand. We are not in prison, not spiritually. And this change does not, you know, hold me back. I want you, church, to understand this. There's nothing that is holding us back if we make a stand on faith through prayer. This is the reality of Rosa Street as well. Nothing is holding us back. Nothing. Do you believe that? Yes. So as we step in faith, everything can happen. Everything. And actually, this is the first attitude that the heaven is expecting from us. Faith. So if our prayer is running shallow, it's probably because we're not putting ourselves in faith before the Father who provided everything for us. We're asking for little things. We're asking for things that falls on the ground while not sitting on the table that he's provided everything. So do you have a need for a miracle in your life? Perhaps it's a condition in your family, on your job, in your work, maybe finances. Now listen to this. God does not want to do a miracle only outside of you, but mainly inside of you. So what's actually holding us back is nothing outside of us. It's the chains that are holding us back inside. Chains like fear, guilt, like lies, Those are the things that holds us back. So here's this. The greatest miracle that can happen in your life is inside of you. Amen? The greatest miracles. When that miracle happens inside of you, other miracles in your life take place naturally. This is God's intention to us. 2025, I have a miracle for you inside of you. You may think that your life is going to be better when I solve things outside of you. But you know what? What is actually holding us back is things inside of us that does not let us make a stand of faith to receive what the heaven already gave us freely through Jesus Christ. So today I'm going to talk about three principles about prayer. I'm not going to take too long. So the first principle is pray with heaven's purpose in mind. This is what Paul is asking the church to do. You know, don't ask for me to be released from prison. This is a very small request when you compare to the movement of heaven, right? So we need to set our minds on the things above. Actually, Paul's going to write that on this same letter. Set our minds in the things above. So if we pray according to the heaven's purpose, we can expect nothing less than the abundance of the heaven, right? So that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. So the heavens already put us right next to God and made it everything available to us. I really love because he put the verb on the past, right? He placed us. He already put us there, right? So how do you experience that, really? Because I don't feel like that many times. I don't see it, you know. Maybe I think you're like me. You actually, you know, you don't feel it many times. Well, it's by faith. You only can embrace it, experience it, by faith. So nothing's going to change in 2025 unless you are moved by faith. If your faith is little, so will be your prayer. The heaven will be the size of your faith. If you expect little from heaven, little you will have. If you expect nothing, then nothing you have. The heaven is the size of what you believe and how you stand before. And that's how it works. Jesus, in all the conversations he had with people, he always, you know, put in the condition where they had to respond in faith. If they did not have faith, nothing would happen. And this is for us as well. So pray with heaven's purpose in mind. So if you really want to build with God the greatest and best year of our lives, if we really want to carry the vision of heaven, if we really want more of God in 2025, then all of those years, if we really want more of his actions, more of his movement, more of his presence, more of his wisdom, more of his provision, then we need to pray believing that everything that Christ did on the cross made a yes of God's promise to us. That's what we found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, there are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So, friends, because we are called to do great things, God knows we need great provision. And he has said yes for everything. So a church will never be greater than its dreams. A church will never be greater than what the church believes what God can do through it. And Paul's saying, you got to believe a lot, church. Things are about to happen. And I don't want to do it alone, so I'm inviting you to be part of this dream. Come along, church. When you pray, pray already believing it, acting, and moving with me. So this is amazing. This is amazing. So dreams are born and nourished by prayer made in faith. As you believe, so you receive from heaven. I believe that. So we must approach the table of the Father actually believing in every single promise He made to us. We must approach. Thank you, Father, because there's nothing lacking in 2025 for me to embrace the fullness of Christ and this church to be what heaven intended to be. And we want to say yes to that. We want to be the ones that actually respond, just like the church of Colossae. What should we ask? And the Apostle Paul teaches us. He says in the verse, and pray for us too, that may God open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So what we should ask for? We should ask for us to be an expression of the fullness of God. We should ask that we be a walking miracle, right? That's our deepest desires. So you can ask God for anything you want, and that's fine. You should ask anything that it's in your heart. But you need to understand that your heart needs to learn what God desires. And through prayer, we bring things of our heart to God, but we actually put ourselves in a situation of silence when we let Him to speak back to us. And when God speaks back to us, it's already a miracle. Because He's revealing things that no other man is revealing. We're not seeing it in the news. You don't see this anywhere. But God is revealing to you. So, He reveals things to us, things start to happen inside of us, a revolution. And I call this a miracle. And once a miracle happens inside of us, no one stops us. No one stops the church. No one stopped Paul. He was in chains, but he was unstoppable. He was in different places spiritually. He was everywhere. He was in the movement of the kingdom. So when you approach God with this kind of heart, He just changes our heart. And He puts us a faith that is unstoppable. Look this phrase. Prayer is not a passive activity. It's a force that shapes us, the course of history, breaks down strongholds, and advances the kingdom of God inside of us and through us. So the second principle that I see here about prayer is pray together as a family. The first one is pray with the heaven's purpose in mind. The second, pray together as a family. So Paul did not live in isolation. He understood that even though he was kind of alone there, he might have other partners, maybe not friends, but occasionally he'll be, you know, arrested with other disciples of Jesus. But he was not alone. He was connected to the community of Colossae. And he knew that his situation there was an opportunity for the church to participate in what miracle was about to happen. So Paul starts inviting people to pray about his condition. So in reality, he's asking people to align with him in the project of God. There's a project of God, and I'm going to use the circumstances to make you part of what's going to happen. You see, this is a different approach. You know, it's someone that is understanding the abundance of the table. Everything, it's already provided. We're just going to act in faith, understanding that God will answer, and it's amazing. So I don't want to let you out. I don't want to celebrate alone, so I'm inviting you, church, to pray for me and be part of this, because it's going to happen. This is amazing. So this is the approach that I believe God wants us to have in our life, in this church, in anything we do, believing, actually. And God is going to use that faith to make miracles. So look at this. If you, in your dream, don't need anyone else besides yourself to make it happen, then it's likely you're not dreaming big enough. And Paul knew that. God has great things to do, and it's so big that I cannot do alone. So church, come with me. Even Jesus Christ, who came on earth, did not fulfill the dream alone. He has a mission alone on the cross, but he has the mission of raising disciples. So think about God's dream in the community. He created the first dream, which is a family. You don't do it alone. You need people. So whatever dream you have, if that dream does not involve other people, and it does not, you know, benefit other people, you're probably dreaming too little. Because God's dream involves a community, involves a large group of people. Because the vision is so great that nobody can accomplish it alone. And Paul knew that. So church, come with me. There's big things happening. So pray together as a family. Look at this. Edward Shilly Beckes. What we dream alone remains a dream. But what we dream with others can become a reality. Alone, I'm pretty powerless, able to make a splash, but not a difference. A very large group of people watching the news together could change the world. The church is that group of persons. Yes, so the third principle here to finish our time together is pray for wisdom in every situation. Look, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When our heart is aligned with God in faith, so will be our actions. So if we're approaching God in faith, it's impossible that we don't live out in faith in everything we do. It's impossible. I believe it's impossible. If we really believe that God is revealing his power to us, and it's making it available to us by prayer, it's impossible not to live like that in everything we do, in every people that we meet, in every occasion that we are placed. So it's impossible to pray in faith and not walk in a way that inspires others. Paul is teaching that. Like, church, if you move in prayer, everything's going to change. The way your church stand in the community will change. People will notice. You inspire people through the way you are living out. So he says, our speech, your speech will be seasoned with salt. It will bring the flavor of heaven. Isn't that amazing? That we can bring the flavor of heaven in wherever we go, and no one else in the world can produce that except God. And we're the ones actually carrying this, if we actually believe. So, yes, we're the only ones that bring the message from heaven. Nobody else. So we are the prophets. We're called to be the prophets. And we're the prophets only if we believe. If we don't believe, so people won't see the heaven in us. So, the heaven is bigger, is as big as you think. Is as big as you allow it to be in your daily life. So you can wake up in the morning and say, God, you know what? I want the heaven to be tremendous today through me. I want to be actually the one person that walks in the darkness and have a totally different speech from everyone else. But it's not going to come with my own strength. I'll have to be connected to the flow of your kingdom. So I'm here willing to be that. I want to take a stand in faith. And I want to understand that the heavens wants to communicate in this world through me, starting maybe with my family, with my friends, wherever I go, school, work, job, I don't know. But I want to be that. I think that's the invitation the Apostle Paul is making to us. 2025, you can be this person. Because those who pray with faith overcome their weakness and limitations. Amen? Those who pray in faith challenge the impossible. Those who pray in faith do not surrender to despair. Those who pray in faith always walk in the expectation of another miracle from God. Those who pray in faith always have a testimony to share. Those who pray in faith do not walk in the chronos, but in the kairos. They have a different timing in their life. Those who pray in faith become a prophetic voice of heaven in this world. We are the ones called from heaven to walk in prayer, in faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I challenge you as this year of 2025 unfolds that you set your heart with this purpose. God, I want to approach you with prayer in faith. And I want you to flow through me so I can be a prophetic voice from heaven wherever I go. Amen. I ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm not sure what God spoke to you. I graciously appreciate your patience in hearing my English. But above all my words, I pray that you're hearing the Spirit words inside of you. What is the Holy Spirit communicating in your heart today? What is maybe the one thing holding you back to experience God's miracle in your life? And maybe you came here putting some requests before God of circumstances and conditions that you want Him to move outside of you. But today I'm bringing this message that the best miracle that could happen in your life is actually inside of you when you allow God to change your heart. So maybe this is the day where you're taking a stand of faith and saying, you know, God, I accept what you want to make in my heart. I accept you. If you felt that call, we're gonna have a moment now to pray over you. And you can come forward as we sing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I pray for your power. I pray for your heavens flow through us. In a world that is in so much need to see your light, to see the revolution through Jesus Christ. God, that this revolution starts inside of me right now. By faith, I accept to be a channel of what you want to reveal from heaven to this earth. That this may start in my own perspective of life, and that this may grow into my relationships, my family, my job. God, we know you have so many things prepared for us this year. But it's not the year itself that's going to change us. We choose to use this opportunity of grace to make a stand and improve and say, I believe, God, you're asking me things that only will happen by faith. And I accept that. So I come forth as I am. Amen.